What is going on, Swoopers? Welcome back to another episode of Swoop Luke. In this episode, we'll be reviewing that bloody win against Richmond. Let's get into it. 3-0. The last time we started 3-0 to start the season, of course, was back in 2011. This is what Nick Dacos and Josh Dacos look like on that night, and now they're just dominating, not only, you know, in the Collingwood team, but across the competition. And that's just a little bit of a side story to the start to this season. It has been absolutely crazy. And of course, we'll talk about the game in a little bit, but 3-0. We haven't seen this for 12 years. Now, you know, last season we started 2-0, and then we played Geelong, and we went 2-1. It's crazy. At the start of the year, I said we would be 4-1, and our loss would come to Brisbane. I'm thinking we don't even lose to Brisbane now. So, but that's for the preview coming up later on in the week. As for yesterday's game, there's an old adage in soccer or football, in the EPL, whatever you want to call it. But can they do it on a cold, rainy night in Stoke? And if you're a soccer fan or EPL fan, you would kind of know what that means. But pretty much, it's just saying that Stoke City, you know, they're their home ground, the Britannia Stadium. Very cold, very, you know, in the middle of winter, snowy, rainy and stuff like that. You know, can Messi do it? He can do it all around the world, but can he do it on a cold, rainy night in Stoke? We were able to do it on a cold, rainy night at the MCG in front of 85,000 people in just a really, really scrappy, contested game of football. And it's one of those ones, and I'll bring it back to the EPL as well, in, you know, my boys, Manchester City. It's one of those games where you just irk out a 1-0 win, like against, you know, someone that's very lower than you, and it's just a shitty night. And you just kind of, you grit your teeth and you go in and win the game. You do everything to win the game. You might not play your game style, but you do everything to win the game. We didn't have that sort of run. We had that, a lot of that contested possession, had a lot of the ball and stuff like that, but we sort of kept Richmond in the side, in the game with all their, you know, with not being able to convert properly and stuff like that. So we were able to do it. And God, did it feel bloody good when that final siren went. And, you know, we're 3-0 up. But, you know, look, let's talk about the game now. I went into this game thinking that anything could happen. I was pretty confident last week against Port, nervous about Geelong, very nervous about this game because it had a very backs against the wall sort of game to it. You know, they've got four players out, three of those premiership players, Dustin Martin being one of them, but they still had a generally a really good team and they hadn't lost the game yet, right? They come back against Carlton and they beat Adelaide last week. This had all the makings of back to the wall Richmond, and we kind of saw that in the first couple of minutes where we were just peppering the goals, hitting the goalposts and stuff like that. But then Richmond take it down, they counterattack, which they're really good at rebounding. And Shea Bolton, apologies, I always never know how to pronounce his name, kicks the first goal of the match. But that would be the only time Richmond lead for the entire game. Then we start peppering the goals, and we're getting, you know, all of this sort of inside 50s, and you know, by the end of the first quarter, we're 2-6. So we're getting all these opportunities, hitting the post and kicks going this way, kicks going that way. It was just going to be one of those nights where you kind of just have to hope for the best. And for the whole entire game, we were the better team. We were just so good, so dominant, not playing our normal style of that running footy. We did see it a little bit, but there was a lot of players just sort of kicking it off the ground, not wanting to pick it up, whereas on a dry day, they're picking that up, they're running and stuff like that. Couldn't really do that because of the weather, but it is sort of what it is, and we sort of grit our teeth. Up until halftime, Richmond only kicked one goal. They had four scoring shots, one goal, three. We had 13 scoring shots for 10 goals, three? No, we had 13 scoring shots for 3-10. Now, this game, maybe not put to bed, but this game should have been tucked into bed, a hot chocolate on the side, getting ready to go to sleep. That's where we should have been at halftime. We should have been 5, 6, 7 goals up. We were playing just absolutely dominant footy, contested ball, you know, the clearances. We're winning all these sort of major stats up until halftime, but we just couldn't convert. But you could tell that we were a 5 or 6 goal better side, right? We were doing this a lot last year as well, where not on these sort of rainy days, but just in the perfect rain where, sorry, perfect rain, perfect sort of environment where we should have been winning by 5-6 goals. We're up by 3 points because we can't capitalize. Now, I always say put teams to the sword. Yes, we should have put Richmond to the sword, but I think this was more of just one of those nights where we were putting Richmond to the sword. We just couldn't kick straight. And it wasn't just like set shots and stuff. It was goals on the run that we would normally get just weren't going our way. We didn't have the bounce of the ball up until halftime. I remember turning to Dad, you know, during halftime and saying, look, man, I think Richmond are going to come out, kick the first two goals, and that's going to sort of spark us into motion. Richmond came out, kicked the first three goals before we piled on four goals of our own, you know, and five behinds, four goals, five. So again, you know, that kicking coming into play. But Jamie Elliott was huge in that second quarter, kicking two goals, a bunch of score involvements and stuff. And then, you know, we go on, grit our teeth again, kick one goal in that last quarter. Richmond kick three, I think. Five, six, seven. Yeah, Richmond kicked three in that last quarter, and we just hold on for a 14-point win. Like I said, one of those games where you just have to get through it and, you know, you hope to get through it unscathed. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But you just have to get through it, and we got through it, and we got that win. The sort of guys that get the accolades for last night's game, Jordan Dugowie, over 30 disposals, equal high career clearances for him, 9 clearances, Josh Dacos, 7 clearances, loved what he did. Nick Dacos, they didn't tag him again, gets over 30 possessions. He went at like 89% or something, not close to 90% disposal efficiency, so he was using the ball well, damaging as well. Couple of the oldest, what do they say, stalwarts? It's that word. But a couple of the older guys, Scott Pendlebury, still side bottom. Now, they turned the clock back like it was 2010 and 2011. Scott Pendlebury finding space, you know, close into goal, gets the gap, kicks a goal that we really, really needed. Still side bottom was absolutely everywhere across the ground. You know, not even just like on the wing. He was pushing all the way back to halfback, pushing even deeper, you know, chopping off balls and stuff like that. Josh Dacos was doing the same. But two guys that I want to give absolute plaudits to, and I could give this to every single one in the team, but these two guys I want to really point out. Nathan Murphy, for one, we talk about epitomizing the black and white stripes, right? We talk about epitomizing the side-by-side spirit. Murphy is reckless, hard-headed, determined, and just unbelievable. Like, those four sort of traits in his game where he will go off his player to run 20 meters to punch a ball or to smother a ball. He is the sort of 1%. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I would assume he's sort of the 1% a king, kind of like what Johnny Noble is. But Nathan Murphy is definitely an unsung hero. He's not going to get on the stat sheets. He's not going to get three Brownlow votes. But what he's able to do is absolutely incredible. And the second guy I want to talk about is my boy, Big Bad Billy Frampton. Now, a lot of conjecture when we signed him. Didn't play many games at Port Adelaide. Didn't play many games at Adelaide. You know, he's no good. He's going to be the whipping boy. He can't defend, blah, blah, blah. He kept Tom Lynch to 1-3, I think, or 1-2 or something like that. People, you know, I had James on the other night, said that Billy Frampton was going to get 8 kicked on him. I had the pair on the other week against Port Adelaide. Todd Marshall was going to kick 6. Between Todd Marshall and Billy Frampton, between Tom Marshall and Tom Lynch, Billy Frampton's only let in 3 goals or so. It is incredible. And he's not just blanketing these sort of players. He is taking intercept marks. He is spoiling. He's getting up the ground a bit when we need him to. He's hitting targets from out back. He is that Jordan Roughhead architect. And you can see what it's doing because Isaac Quaynor is intercepting now. Brayden Maynard, Darcy Moore, all this without Jeremy Howe as well. So just, you know, just a claps. Claps for Billy Frampton and claps for Nathan Murphy, my two unsung heroes of round 3 against Richmond. Now, it wouldn't be a Collingwood game without some controversy, of course. Or not really controversy, more like an insane injury toll. Darcy Cameron goes down late in the third quarter with a knee injury. Craig McRae comes out and says it could be between 6 to 8 weeks, high-grade MCL something, he said, MCL tear, MCL strain. They're going to get, you know, it's going to get looked at today. But it looks like we'll be without Cameron for 8 rounds. Cameron has done so well in the absence of Brody Grundy. Did really well last season. He was probably one of the best on last week against Port Adelaide. And up until 3 quarter time, he was doing everything right on Nan Curvis. Now, this really messes us up because Aiden Beck's still injured with his back. Mason Cox is out with that hematoma on his spleen, the bleeding on his spleen. So he won't be in for at least 4 weeks, you would think. So that really leaves us with Oscar Steen, who has only played one or two VFL games, will play again tonight. McStay will probably mainly ruck, and Ash Johnson to chop him out. You would think that when it goes into the back line, maybe Billy Frampton jumps in as well, because Frampton's played a little bit of the ruck. But I would think that, unfortunately, Dan McStay is going to be that guy that, that rucks. And what that means is a couple of things. It means that Checkers is going to be the number one forward again, which he did, you know, he's done for the last few years. It means that Ash Johnston keeps his name in the side, which, you know, Ash Johnston as well did incredible on his first game back. It also means that we probably give, you know, Jack Ginnivan a go again. Depending on how he goes today, I think they're versus Port Melbourne Saturday night, which is tonight. You can watch it on the AFL app and stuff. I think Ginnivan comes straight into the side against Brisbane if he has a good game. Otherwise, it's going to be Reef McInnes that comes into the side. I would love to see Ginnivan go about it, get him back into the team. Unfortunately, yeah, it's like what happened with Jeremy Howe. Jeremy Howe goes out, gives the opportunity to Billy Frampton. Now, Darcy Cameron goes out, and he's out, obviously our number one ruckman, with no Cox as well. Dan McStay is going to not win a lot of their hitouts. We get that. But our clearance work now, with Tom Mitchell there, Taylor Adams and stuff like that, we might lose the hitouts, but win the clearances, as opposed to what we used to do with Grundy was win the hitouts and lose the clearances. So the fly and stuff, they're going to know what to do. It's unfortunate, and, you know, sending prayers and healing words to Darcy Cameron that he comes back sooner than 8 weeks. But I think that's what's going to happen, and it's going to be interesting. Premiership team. That's a Freudian slip. A team playing like we are, and, you know, premiership favourites and stuff like that, without a recognised ruckman is crazy. And I don't want to hear we shouldn't have got rid of Brody Grundy, because no, we needed to. We wouldn't be playing like we did with the guys that we did if we didn't get rid of Brody Grundy. But that's that. Now, I just want to quickly touch on just my feelings again after this game, and I'm sure you guys are feeling the same thing too. I haven't been this excited for Collingwood football since 2011. Like, yeah, last year was absolutely crazy, and I was very excited for that. But this year just has a different aura to it, a different energy every time you go to the game. And, you know, it's only round three, and I'm not getting ahead of myself. I'm not saying that, you know, we're going to win the premiership or we're going to finish top four or top two. None of that. I'm just, as of round three, from this little bucket of games that we've played, it just feels different. And, you know, there's over 95,000 members at the moment. And it's just, you know, seeing, you know, what are we averaging? 75,000 in the last game, in the last three games. Seeing the Dacos brothers go about it. Pendles is still going. Bobby Hill. Ash Johnson yesterday. Then you see Jordan Degoe absolutely dominating again. Steel Sidebottom. Like, you can just go on and on and on. Everybody is playing their role. Will Hoskinelli is playing his role really well. You might not see it on the stat sheets, but he's playing his role really well. Jack Chris, Brayden Manor, Darcy Moore, the captain. It is just an incredible time to be a Collingwood supporter. And who knows what the season holds, right? Who knows? We're only three games into a 23 or so game season. Who knows? But as of right now, as of 12:38, Saturday, 1st of April, we just played last night, it's looking really good. It's exciting. It's, that's all I can really say. It's exciting. it's good. It's going to be good. And bring on Brisbane next week, I reckon. But anyway, guys, this has just been my review of the game against Richmond. Let me know your thoughts down below, your positives, your negatives, what we need to improve, what's going to happen in the ruck situation. I'd love to know all your thoughts down below. I love you all. And again, if you know someone who's a Collingwood supporter and they're not subscribed, send them the link, get them to subscribe. I'd love to get to 5,000 in the next couple of weeks, 5,000 subs in the next couple of weeks. Would be absolutely amazing. I love every single one of you. But until then, like, comment, subscribe, Tay family, Tay friends, Tay pets, and until next time, double shakers. I'll see you later.